Dear people of God, I should like to direct your attention this morning to the words of 2 Kings chapter 6, where we read in verses 15 through 17 about Elisha's servant, seeing the multitude of the Syrians, was afraid, and then Elisha said, "Open his eyes, Lord, that he may see." That he could see the hosts of God's armies protecting them. It is a truism, I believe, to say that we usually look to physical weapons and arsenals as a means of national security. Every nation has a standing army, except maybe one or two, and they want to have an army that can resist any opponent or any foe that would attack, and if necessary, conquer them if they took any of their land. Individuals also do the same thing. We look for self-protection, security. Statistics tell us that when there is crime, violent crime, in any given neighborhood in the whole United States of America, that immediately the rise of gun sales goes up, up, up. People think they must defend themselves, and that will give them security. However, the child of God knows there is a higher power in which he must trust and in which he must find security. And that's the unseen power of the living God and the armies that often accompany his people. The story was told some years ago of some youths who were going to rob an elderly man who looked sort of derelict on the New York subway. And as they went, they began to attack the man to try to take his wallet from him, and immediately they were jumped by some passengers who just happened to be plainclothes policemen set there purposely, and the man was a decoy. You see, there were unseen forces protecting that man, unseen to the individuals who attacked. So Elisha says to his servant, "Fear not, they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And after he prayed that the servant's eyes should be opened, he could see the whole host of chariots of fire surrounding Elisha and protecting them. You see, we are surrounded by unseen forces. His protection, I take it, is indicative of the kind of protection that the people of God should seek. The kind of protection that comes from a sovereign God who holds the whole world in his hands and who watches over everything that transpires in it. And so this morning I want to consider Elisha's protection as a symbol, so to speak, of a nation's security. And three things I want to look at with you. First of all, let's see the fear of the enemy. And secondly, notice the vision of faith. And then finally, the triumph of grace. There is in this story the fear of the enemy. We have to look at the situation for a moment. The king of Syria had been attacking different towns in Israel, ambush raids rather than full-scale warfare. And then Elisha knew about that, and so it seems that what the king of Syria really wanted was to conquer or to capture, kidnap maybe, the king of Israel and hold him hostage to bend him to do his will. And Elisha always knew ahead of time exactly what the king of Syria was going to do. And so each time that he knew the king of Syria was going to go to a certain city here or over there, he would warn the king of Israel, "Don't go there. That's where the Syrians are going to attack you." And several times over, the king of Israel escaped the hands of the king of Syria. So that finally the king of Syria called his counselors together, his generals and staff officers, and said, "Tell me something. Which of you is for the king of Israel?" What he's really asking is, which of you is a traitor? Somebody here is betraying my trust. You know what my plans are, and you're tipping off the king of Israel. And one of the officers knew the situation, probably by military intelligence, as the Nations always spy on each other to find out what's going on. And he said, none, my lord, O king, but the prophet Elisha knows the very things, the secrets you whisper in your bedchamber. The things you think no one can hear. You're alone, just with your wife. You don't tell anyone else what you're telling her. And he knows all about it. And when you make these plans to attack the king of Israel, he knows it, and he's the one who's tipping off the king. And so we read that the king of Israel escaped not once or twice, which means several times, many times, which aroused the king's suspicion. And so the fear of the enemy, the king says, I'll tell you what, if that's the case, we're going to get that man. Then he can't tip off the king of Israel, and then I can do what I plan to do, attack him and capture him. But as it turned out, he sent a force, a rather strong force. How strong, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But he sent forth thither horses and chariots and a great host. Horsemen with chariots. That's to fight an army, isn't it? And besides that, foot soldiers, he sent a great host. And they came by night, compassed that little city of Dothan, where Elisha was. And in the morning, the servant got up and probably went out to do some chores. And he looked up and said, wow, the whole area was surrounded. He says, how shall we do, my lord? What's happening here? We're in trouble. And the words of Elisha are simply amazing when you read it in the context of a great host of people coming just for one man. And then Elisha says, don't be afraid. Don't stop worrying. There's more with us than with them. Where? The servant doesn't see them. And Elisha has to pray, Lord, open his eyes. And when he opens his eyes in answer to Elisha's prayer, why, the man sees the heavens full of fiery chariots surrounding them and protecting them. God is on the throne. God is in charge. Now, don't get me wrong. Fear is a natural reaction to such a situation as the servant of Elisha faced. You'd be afraid, too, if you woke up some morning and Grand Rapids were surrounded by foreign troops. Of course. But what the lesson is that we must put our trust not in the military might to protect ourselves so much as in the unseen forces of God's power. While fear is a natural reaction of those who see only the visible, faith says there's more than that. We look to the invisible God who supports and protects and defends his people. That's why the Apostle Paul could write to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4. But we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is seen is eternal. It doesn't mean that we as Christians don't fear the reality of danger, but that what it does mean, and get this point clearly, is that we see beyond the visible, beyond what we can see, to the God who controls the whole world in his hands. The God of the universe, the God of providence. And failure to see the unseen forces of God's providence causes one to fear the enemy that opposes God's word and cause. Years ago, Reverend William Van Persen wrote an article, What Do You See? And in the article he concluded, quote, there are many people today who are struck with that kind of blindness. They are blind to the power of God, to the providence of God. My friends, wherever you are in life, whatever circumstances are prevailing in your lives, however difficult they may be, however overwhelming they may seem to be, look beyond them to the God who controls your destiny and put your trust in Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the fear of the enemy, that which we can see. But then there's the vision of faith. Don't forget that. And faith, you know, dispels fear. The prophet Elijah says, "Fear not." Don't be afraid, in other words. The eye of faith perceives that there is a presence of God when none else can see it. Why can Elijah take this attitude? Because he knew the Psalter. And the Psalms told him what you and I sometimes read in Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, and the question, whence comes my help? And the answer, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, all things. The Creator is in charge. The God of Elisha is God who neither slumbers nor sleeps, says the psalmist in that same psalm. And in another place in Psalm 4, David says, in the midst of enemies pursuing him, I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. Yes, indeed, our help is in the name of the Lord, as we hear every Sunday morning. And the eye of faith is assured the victory in the face of apparently insurmountable odds. A host from the king of Syria surrounding two men. And God on the throne says, but you're not going to take them. He, Elisha will take you. And Elisha leads them right to the king of Israel. Today we have many opposing forces in the world. They are not all the kind of things that are so obvious to some people. But if you have the eye of faith, the vision of faith, you realize that our faith is being attacked on every side by evil forces, by those who want to destroy the gospel and faith in the God whom we love and serve. A few years ago, there was a picture in the paper with the title, Atheist Turns to Activism in the Bible Belt. A picture of a young lady standing by her car with a license plate which read, Atheist. She's now the director of the Tennessee Division of the American Association of Atheists, and she is very active in trying to destroy the Christian faith and in touting her atheism to everyone. If you looked at those things and all the other things that are happening in our world, you would become very fearful. But like Elisha said to the servant, open your eyes. And when God opens your eyes, you see the unseen forces that are protecting His people. And Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. And we can believe that to the end of time, there will be a body of believers worshiping God. Their number may be small, they may be persecuted to the depth. But God is going to have the final victory, and He's going to have the last word, as we see clearly in the story of Elisha and the forces that came to take him. You see, faith, the vision of faith, gives us the assurance of victory. Faith in the unseen power of God. Things are not always what they seem to be. Remember that. I remember one time pulling into an automatic car wash. You put some money in, you drive forward, you stop. After you stop, the machine starts to work. And as the machine started to work, I thought that I had forgotten to take my car out of gear. The optical illusion was that I was moving and I put my foot on the brake to stop it. But the joke was on me. The car wasn't moving. The machine was moving around me. Sometimes things look so desperate that we think the cause is lost. But God says, not so. Elisha says to his servant, don't be afraid. They're more with us than are with them. Do you believe it, child of God? Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith opens our eyes to the reality of God's presence and the supernatural forces that He controls. And let me tell you this morning very clearly and simply that the Bible stresses the unseen. It's because of faith in the invisible, you see, that Moses was willing to endure persecution with the people of God. It's because faith allows us to have comfort and peace in the worst of circumstances. David, when he was pursued again, said, I lie down and sleep. I awake again. Why? Because the Lord sustains me. And so he says, I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. I think he knew what being pursued meant and how many thousands sought his life. But he says, I'll not fear. Deep down, my trust is in God. In Psalm 27, he says, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, and it often did, even then will I be confident. God is on the throne. Daniel and his friends experienced that when, as Babylonian captives, they chose not to eat the king's morsels and the king's food or anything unclean that would make them unclean. And God rewarded them for their faith. My friends, what we need today is faith's vision. In the face of possible global conflict with the gruesome potentiality for almost any kind of war, including nuclear or chemical warfare, we have to have the eye of faith. The eye of faith that sees beyond the seen. And trust the God who is on the throne so that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Heavenly Father. And I suspect that someone might be thinking right now, yes, Pastor, that's nice you say these things, but didn't this happen a couple thousand or more years ago to Elisha? Yeah, it did, sure. That doesn't happen today anymore, does it? Well, it doesn't happen if you don't see it. But I believe it still happens. I believe God is still on the throne and his throne rules over all. In the first Gulf War, there was a general who was about ready to attack the enemy, but they needed 100,000 gallons of water a day to supply their troops. And they're in the desert. And they drilled for wells and they couldn't find any. But it was this general's custom that every morning at 7:15, he was down on his knees praying to God for help, and he invited any staff members that wanted to come to join with him. And on a Sunday morning, he was there praying with staff members, and a knock came on his door of his tent or headquarters. And there was a colonel there and said, General, I have something to tell you. What is it? He said, I want to show you. Come with me. They got in the jeep and rode a ways, and there, 30 to 50 yards from the road that they'd been traveling on, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, somehow they discovered a well that had been drilled, a diesel engine prepared with 1,000 gallons of diesel fuel and 4 new batteries still in plastic, and all it took was to set the thing in motion. But there was one problem. They didn't have the key to start the generator. This general in faith said, I don't believe God brought us here to show us this without having us use it. And he simply pushed a button that said start, and lo and behold, the whole thing worked. And do you know that it produced within 10 gallons of the 100,000 gallons needed every day for their troops? Miracles? Divine providence, special divine providence, you can't deny it. God is ahead of us working if we will but trust him and wait in him. And if we do that, then we'll see what I call the triumph of grace. The Lord opened the eyes of Elisha's servant, and then he saw the fiery chariots, symbols of God's protection. And the fire was representative of God's divine presence. By faith, he saw what Elisha saw, that God in grace is with his people and cares for them. He saw that God had placed Elisha in Israel's midst to reveal his love and grace to a nation that no longer even cared for him in large part, to a king that never sought his advice, but Elisha gave it. That's grace, my friends, the kind of grace that God shows to us in Christ Jesus. We didn't ask to be saved. He came and sought us out. God demonstrates that love of grace to us still freely in our day and age. And that's why, as Elisha warned the king of the dangers of the approaching king of Syria, so we must warn the world of impending judgment to come unless it turns to God and seeks his face and believes his holy word. The Lord surrounds and protects his people. That, dear friends, is the triumph of grace. It was true for Elisha. It's true of the church today. We must put our trust for security in the living God, for the security of God's people and our triumph over evil is not of our own doing, nor by the power of human might, but by the grace and the goodness of the living God. And let me say clearly that the real battle we're fighting today is mainly a spiritual battle against false ideologies. We're fighting against, for example, humanism and paganism and hedonism and materialism and secularism and all of the rest of those things which are out to destroy the Christian faith. Don't you forget it. Every fall, and I expect it will happen again this fall, in the month of September, we have in our community, and I suspect maybe you have it here, what the pagan people call Pagan Day. And they have a celebration in one of the parks in the city of Kalamazoo. And they're proud of being called pagans, just as that lady I referred to earlier was proud of being an atheist. That's where the battle is today. People who deny the reality of the unseen and want you to join with them. So we must conclude, of course, that the devil's still at work, even in our own nation. In a little town school of Frenchtown, New Jersey, just last week, I read in the paper, USA Today, of a girl in second grade at a talent show, chose to sing Awesome God. And when the teacher heard the lyrics, she said, well, the principal has to approve of this song. And the principal, of course, was really upset because of the religious content of the song. And that little girl who chose to sing Awesome God was forbidden to sing it. The same article tells of a valedictorian girl in a city in Nevada who, in her valedictory address, wanted to give honor to her God and Savior. And suddenly, while she was speaking, the mic was cut off because you can't contaminate people with religion. Now, please, dear friends, listen. That's the kind of thing we're up against. It's a spiritual battle, but we mustn't give up, nor must we become pessimists. Only the Christian can be a real optimist because the future is in God's hands. The same God who triumphed in his grace through Elisha will triumph in ours and in the lives of all those who will live by faith and not by sight. Let us honor God in our lives. Let us increase our faith, nurture our faith. And as your fall season of activity begins, be there, share your faith with your fellow believers, encourage each other to reach out that others may know the goodness and the grace of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord, for grace finally will triumph in him. Amen. O Lord, our God, we commit to thee the words that have been spoken and ask thy blessing that those which have been spoken in weakness may be empowered by thy Spirit to cause hearts to turn from sin to Christ, from a life of unbelief to a life of faith, from a life that sees only the visible and becomes discouraged and fearful to a life that sees beyond the visible and lays hold of God and the triumph of grace that he gives to those who believe in him. Lord God, may this message go far and wide and be multiplied hundreds of times over in our lives and through us in the lives of others. In the name of him who is exalted above everyone, even Jesus our Lord. Amen.